always a pleasure to come before you and speak the Word of God. Just last week, I was meditating to the Lord, and I said, Lord, when will I be able to preach again? And I got a call from Kevin the other day, and that's just how quick he answers prayers. So I want to say to our visitors here, you are an honored guest, and we look forward to getting to meet you a little bit better after services. And Darius did a wonderful job reading the scriptures for us. The incomprehensible love. We live in a world today where love has grown cold. Every time you turn that channel to the news, whatever channel you watch, 2, 5, 7, 11, it's always bad. Why is that? Because the love of many has grown cold. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, we're going to read that again. For the scripture says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom every family in the heavens and on earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the knowledge, path, and love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? To know that God wants to make his home in our hearts. What does the heart consist of today? Your emotions, your will, your mind, and your consciousness, and the inner man. Oops. Notice what he said in verse 14. He didn't say God, but he said the Father. Father is used here in a broad sense, signifying not only the father of the household of faith, which we read about in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, speaks concerning the family of faith, but also the father of every family in the heavens and on earth, in verse 15. In the Greek, that word family there has the meaning of a father, a father's lineage, which in turn implies a family. The Jews' concept was that God was father of only to them, right? So the apostle, in keeping with his revelation, prayed to the father of all the families in the heavens and on earth. In contrast, the Jews, in keeping with the Jewish concept, prayed only to the father of the Jews, you see. So there are angels that God is father to. And according to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, right? For by faith, we are all children of God. Okay? It's only through the faith that you become a child of God. Just like the families that are here on earth today. You cannot become a member of my family unless either you are baptized, born into my family. Born into my family or adopted. See? So for us, okay, we were born into the family of God through adoptionship by baptism through regeneration. Am I going the right way? Okay. The Father strengthens us from within. God does not work outside, inside. He works from the inside, outside, so that your holiness can be seen by men. Men are going to be able to witness what you are. Either you have the spirit of the world dwelling in you, or you have the spirit of Christ dwelling in you. So, that's how God strengthens us with his indwelt spirit, who has been with us and in us since our regeneration. You cannot have the Spirit of God apart from being regenerated. Okay, that is, being baptized into the body of Christ. To experience Christ, we need faith and love. We need that. Apart from faith and love, you can't have it. Faith enables us to apprehend Christ, gives us the ability to grasp Christ, right? And love enables us to enjoy him. If you love Christ, guess what? You're going to be full of joy. Okay? Full of joy. Neither faith nor love are ours, they are his. His faith becomes our faith by which we believe in him, and his love becomes our love by which we love him. When we are rooted and grounded in his love, we grow and are built up in his life. This is what Christianity is all about. It's all about growth. If you're not spending time studying and reading the Word of God, how are you going to grow? The Word of God, according to the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 11, the Word is the seed. So if you ever planted any seeds, you know what you need to do. You know that if you go and plant an apple seed or whatever, you got to dig around the ground, you got to plant it, you got to water it, and then God does the rest. So if you're not allowing the Word of God to work in your life, if you're not sitting aside some time to allow this seed to be implanted in your heart so that it may take root, you're dead. The breadth, length, and height, and depth are the dimensions of Christ. Some of us only experience the horizontal experience of Christ. Okay? When we advance in Christ, we experience the height and the depth. That is the vertical dimensions of Christ. So, what we need to understand is that the more time that we spend with Christ in studying his word, we become like a cube. It must not be one dimensional, like a line. In our experience of Christ, we must go back and forth, up and down, that eventually our experience of him may be solid like a cube. Okay? When our experience is like his, we cannot fail or be broken. The Father answers and fulfills the apostles. Am I going the right way? Okay, there we go. What is that? That's a picture from the Hubble telescope. Those are the pillars of creation, according to what man says. They say that the universe is about 14, 15 billion years old, right? There are those that believe that the universe evolved through matter or the Big Bang, and there are those who believe that God created it. So we here believe that God created the universe. We also believe that God created the earth, the plants and the animals, and God created man in his own image. Right? God's great desire to give and to serve is too much for man's mind. It is just too much for us to try to apprehend all that God has done and will do. You look at man's economy, right? If we have a great earthquake or something like that, where the transportation of products would not be allowed to be shipped to certain parts of the country. That's a disaster. Man's resources are limited, but God's resources are endless. Endless. And that is hard for us to wrap our mind around. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 18, speaks concerning the very first covenant that God made with Abraham. Okay? There are three things that God told Abraham in that chapter. He said, I will be thy shield. Your reward will be great. And you will have an heir. Those three things right there is what God told Abraham. But you know what? One thing about Abraham. Abraham only believed. He only believed. What is it that caused Abraham to believe? Because in chapter 14 of that same book of Genesis, we find out that the eastern kings had taken Lot. So what did Abraham do? Abraham gathered up men of his own household and went and took him back. So at that point in time, that's when God, in chapter 15, that's when God come and tell him, hey, I am your shield. I am your great reward. Okay? You will have a son. You will have descendants. If you can look and count the stars of the sky, then you're not going to be able to do that. You can't count the stars of the sky. That's how your descendants are going to be. And that's why Abraham believed. The only way he believed is because of what God told him. The only way that you're going to believe is by hearing the word of God. Okay? How are you to be saved? Okay? Why are you here today? Why did you come to church today? Because you know that the word tells you not to forsake the assembly. Right? That's why you're here. Romans 14 shows that Abraham was fully persuaded. Let us read that. Romans 4, 16 through 21. Therefore, the inheritance is out of faith, that it may become according to grace, so that the promise may be certain to all the seed. Not to that which is of the law only, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have appointed you a father of many nations, in the sight of God whom I believe, who gives life to the dead and calls the things not being as being. He beyond hope believed in hope in order that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall your seed be. And not weakening in his faith, he considered his own body as already dead, being about 100 years old, as well as the deadening of Sarah's womb. But with regard to the promise of God, he did not doubt in unbelief, but was empowered by faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to do. God tells us a lot of things. God is a covenant-making God. He established a covenant with us through Christ, the New Testament, the New Covenant. So he has done away with the old and has brought in the new. And this is the way that we worship in the new way because of what we have heard through the scriptures. There is no other way that you can be persuaded to become a Christian apart from hearing the word of God. Abraham had to hear. When God told Abraham, look, you need to get up out your parents' house and we're going to go over here to Canaan. Jump up, let's go, leave everything. How many of us going to do that today? Got to ask yourself. Are you willing to do what the word of God tells you to do? We must become obedient to the word of God and become fully persuaded by the things in which we hear. That is the only way that we are going to make it to be with the Lord in heaven. So the things in which we are suffering here today are shaping us down here so that we can fit up there. If you're not going through the shaping process of God, where He is pressing us, taking us through various changes and challenging us, guess what? If you give up, you have just gave up on everything. Your eternal destination is at hand here. So, in order for you to be persuaded, you've got to hear the gospel of Christ. What made the difference in the fact that Abraham was fully persuaded? What is it that caused Abraham to say, you know what, I'm going to listen, I'm going to obey God, and I'm going to do it? He heard some things that persuaded him to become the father of many. What is it that persuaded you to become a Christian? What was it that you heard that persuaded you to become a Christian? Was it one thing or was it many things that you heard? When you first heard the gospel, did you obey it at that point in time? Or did it take you about a couple years to respond to the gospel? I know that when we read about it in the book of Acts, when they heard the gospel, guess what? They were baptized instantly. What's the difference? We are of the same nature. What made the difference? The cutting of the covenant. That made the difference. Because when God made that covenant with Abraham, when He told him to circumcise, this is the covenant that I'm going to make with you, you're going to circumcise everybody in your house. Abraham didn't wait until the next day or the next week. When did he do it? He did it the same day. He did it the same day, circumcised everybody. So Abraham was hearing some things. So God is unfolding His plan to Abraham, the cutting of the covenant. The joining of names. God always changed the names. He changed Abraham from Abram to Abraham. He changed his name. Okay? When God changed his name now, okay, I'm doing something different now. I'm not the same guy as I was before. Now I've moved into a relationship with the Father now. So it is with us. In Isaiah 56 and 5, within my house and within my walls, I will give them a name. An everlasting name will I give them. A name that is better than sons and daughters. And we find out what that name is in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. It is Christian. We are Christians. That name is better than Bible. Right? That name is an everlasting name. That name, Christian, was not given out of derision, but the mouth of the Lord delivered it. So it was the joining of the names in the cutting of the covenant that made the difference, that fully persuaded Abraham. Is being fully persuaded available to us today? Have you been fully persuaded to walk closer to God? Living in this day and age where the violence is just way up here. Some of us don't have jobs. You have a lot of people struggling, homeless, death, roaming the land, cancer, sickness. So much going on. We need to become fully persuaded that God is able to take care of your needs in every way. But the thing that we need to be able to do is just be patient. Just be patient. God is showing me every day. I can recall a time not too long ago where I couldn't even pay my bills. I had to ask the church for help. But I kept my faith because I'm fully persuaded and what the Word of God says to me. God says that it is impossible for Him to lie. It's just not in God's nature to lie. A man will lie at the drop of a hat. It's the other word that my mama used to use, but I can't use it. You see? So, I'm fully persuaded, right, that God is able to make all things come together for the one that draw nearer to Him. Right? I love giving. When I'm able to give, I give. Because I know that God, His economy is endless. His resources, endless. But we live in a material world. We have material bodies. And sometimes that just clouds our spiritual vision. You lose sight of God. You lose sight of all that He has told us. Now you are no longer persuaded. Don't let that happen to you. And like Brother VR was sitting over there saying, yes. Is being fully persuaded available to us today? Yes, it is. Now it's just a matter of fact of what are you going to do with all that you have learned and heard through the scriptures. Okay? I know that I have some things that I have to straighten out in my life. Like my attendance. Because of various things that I'm doing. Dealing with the youth. I have a coach here today that, you know, anybody that I'm around, I'm going to try to persuade them. I'm going to try to. Coach Pear. Raise your hand, Coach Pear. Raise your hand. Coach Pear, I told Coach Pear, I said, Coach, let me tell you something. We were concerned about our numbers last year with football. I said, my father told me that if I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners, everything that I put my hand forth to do is going to be prosperous. So I said, don't worry about the numbers. They're going to start dropping out the sky. And I said, we're going to win the division, we're going to win the conference, and we're going to go and play for the national title. He said, well, if we do all of that, I'm going to church with you. If we do all that, I'm going to church with you. I said, okay. Okay. We won the division. Well, you going to church? No, we got to win the conference. Oh, we won the conference. You going to church? Oh, we ain't went to Florida yet. Went to Florida. Oh, won the first game. Oh, you coming? Oh, no, we ain't made it yet. Made it to the championship game. It took him a minute to get here. But like I said, I'm going to persuade you any way I can to get you in here. Amen. Hebrews 6 and 17. We're going to start at verse 13. For God, when he made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no other, swore by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And thus, when Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men swear by the greater, and for all the disputes among them, an oath is final for confirmation. Therefore, God intended to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his counsel, interposed with an oath. So God is not like man in the fact that I may tell you something one day and change my mind the next day. God is not like that. Once God says that he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's not ship-changing. He doesn't change. Okay? He doesn't change. When he tells us something, he's going to do it. That's why I'm trying to walk closer to him every single day of my life. Okay. Hebrews 10 and 22. Starting with verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus, which entrance he initiated for us as a new and living way through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a great priest over the house of God, let us come forward of the Holy of Holies with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. That is the only way that you are going to be able to come and approach God. See, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, you just can't do it if you're walking in the flesh. So, you have to, the word of God will cleanse your mind. It will cleanse your soul and your spirit. It will awaken your spirit. Okay, when you become baptized, okay, you are joined with Christ. And now Christ is able to make his home in you. That is, to saturate your entire being, okay, mind, your emotions, your will, your consciousness, your soul, and your body. Okay? You become one that to where all you think about is the scriptures and God. I don't know, but that's, I think I'm crazy sometimes because that's all I think about. I think about the scriptures, I do this, so when something come at me, I know how to handle it. So we had, in the Old Testament, you read about it. They walk around with scriptures on their forehead. That's what we need to do. We need to walk around with some scriptures on our heads. Romans 4, 23 and through 25. We're going to be finishing up here. Therefore, also, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Starting at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to do. Therefore also it is accounted to him as righteousness. Now it was not written for the sake only that it was accounted to him, but for ours also to whom it is to be accounted, who believe on him who has raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who has delivered for our, he was delivered for our offense and was raised for our justification. Now we are clear of all charges that were previously against us. That is, if we have been baptized into Christ. Watery grave is right back there. Purpose of baptism, according to Acts chapter 22 and 16, is to wash away sins. We find out in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, the process in which is taking place. You are buried with him in baptism. Okay? You die with him, and you are raised up. And then, at this point in time, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. You got to keep that seat, though. You got to keep that seat. Have you been persuaded today to become a child of God and start your... Let me say this. Have you ever thought, before I got baptized, I was a bad man. I used to always think, man, if I just had another chance to just get my life together and start all over again, in and out of prison, and then God came to me while I was in prison. The word came to me. And the brother said, this is your brand new start. I said, wow, okay. And I got baptized when I got out. And that was some 20-something years ago. I've been here about 15 years. Okay. So, are you persuaded today to become a Christian if you're not? And if you aren't a Christian, are you persuaded to dedicate your life in a way in which it would be more pleasing to God? See, God wants us to grow closer to him. He wants us to walk closer to him. And there is only one way you can walk with God today. One way that you can walk with God. If you're not walking according to the scriptures, if you're not walking in the Spirit, walking in the same steps of what the Spirit is telling you to do, you're not walking with God. You want to walk with God? Study his word. Because Jesus put it like this. Okay, it ain't no middle ground. Either you're with me or you're against me. Either you're gathering or you're scattering. Which one are you? Are you a scatterer? You're trying to cause division and keep everybody separated? Or are you out there doing the work of God? Are you being persuaded to become a better Christian? Read more, study more. That's what we need to do. Message is yours. I want to thank you all for giving me your kind attention. And I want to thank the elders here and the deacons for giving me the opportunity to present a lesson of the word of God. God answered my meditation when I said to him last week, Lord, when will I be able to preach again? I guess I was thinking I didn't want to go up to Santa Rosa. That's a long ride. Thank you.